You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras with San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Flitter from MLB.com. I will soon be joined by my colleague Chris Hack, who covers the Giants for MLB.com. And as we predicted long ago, this division race seems to be coming down to the wire between the Dodgers and the Giants. And as expected, it would not be surprising if the final weekend of the season decided this whole thing. The Giants have had their problems this year, but they are definitely keeping pace, and they seem to be hitting a little bit of a stride. So we'll see if that continues because, of course, as every team can attest to, there are issues with everybody. So let's bring in Chris Haft and get the latest on what is going on with the Giants. Chris, the ongoing storyline, which is Tim Lincecum having sort of been booted from the rotation sort of to save himself and maybe try to get back on track. Meanwhile, his replacement in Petit, he fits really well in his first audition and is getting another start. So I guess just kind of talk a little bit about that, and it's got to be nice for the Giants to have, you know, made this move, and it created a lot of ripple through the clubhouse and through the fan base, but at least it worked so far.
Yes, that's right, Allison. You know, in the off season, they knew Yusnero Petit would be an important guy to retain. Late last year, he won 4 out of 5 starts, including a near-perfect game. He was one strike away in a game in early September against the Arizona Diamondbacks when Eric Chavez hit a two-strike pitch in the right field for a single, and there went Yusnero's shot at baseball immortality. Yet, you know, the Giants don't need immortality from him. They just want, adequacy. And he certainly has been that when – he certainly was more than adequate when he started last week in his first outing replacement of Tim. As I remember, off the top of my head, one run in six plus innings. And, they hope for somewhat near that tonight in Coors Field. Of course, it's a tougher place to pitch. So, you know, they've got to take that into consideration. But they like the depth that Petit gives them. And every team, I think, needs a sixth, quote-unquote, sixth starter. And now the Giants are calling upon theirs.
So what's going on with Lincecum? What is the latest on him? I think the last time we talked, he was sort of working toward making an actual appearance out of the bullpen. And now that it's September 1st, of course, they don't have to maneuver any kind of like 25-man roster situations, but which makes it a little bit easier. But what's the latest on him?
Well, he did pitch on Sunday, and he was very rusty, and as can be expected, they're just looking for another opportunity to get him in a game. I mean, if Petit is ineffective, you know, Tim might become the long guy, the long reliever, and you might see Tim coming in the third or fourth inning as Yusnero did before when a starter would get injured or just be ineffective. So, you know, it's, with Tim, when he wasn't pitching so bad, it was a work in progress. Now it's even more of a work in progress, I would say.
Well, it's an interesting thing this stuff usually doesn't happen to a team that actually has a legitimate chance to win the World Series, but that's why good teams have depth and are able to muddle through some of this. I was looking at the call-ups for the Giants, a bunch of people I've never heard of, but one that had a very interesting last name in Bochy. So right-handed pitcher Brent Bochy, who would be the son of Bruce Bochy. So he's up along with Gary Brown and a couple other guys. So that's a really cool storyline. That's a great thing to write about. That's got to be a little nerve-wracking, though, for the manager and the player, I would think.
Yeah, it can be. What's in this situation, I think will make it more tolerable is that Brett, Bruce's son, has been in big league camp in spring training each of the last 2 years. So people are used to having him around, having Brett around. Brett's, maybe I'll sound a little paternalistic myself here, but Brett's a good kid. He really is. You know, he doesn't do anything to embarrass his father. Follows the rules, runs his sprints hard, that sort of thing. And, I think that makes it, that makes a potentially touchy situation a lot less touchy. I've covered teams with father-son combos before. Early on when I covered the Giants, Moises Alou was playing for Felipe, and back in my Cincinnati Reds days, Aaron Boone played for his father, Bob. there were instances here and there, maybe a little bit of tension, but for the most part, things went very smoothly. And I think I see no reason why they shouldn't go smoothly here with Brett and Bruce.
It's very cool, and I'm sure that everyone will handle it well. And, of course, you know, Bruce Bochy is a veteran manager who knows what he's doing. So, but it's one thing for spring training. It's quite another when it's September and it's intense and the team is in a pennant race. You know, and he's a dad. And so when he calls upon his son, of course, he's not going to be, like, put in these, like, extremely crucial situations. But he might get into, a game here and there. And so I would think that Bruce Bochy would just be, his heart is like swelling because he's so proud. And then he's also like trying to manage, there's gotta be a lot of emotions, I guess, that are probably going to go through his mind, having this intensity of trying to lead his team through a pennant drive and also just the proud papa watching his son pitch in the major league.
Allison, I think you're absolutely correct. My mind leaps to another instance I witnessed firsthand. In 2004, my one and only year covering the Oakland A's, Chris Spire was the team's bench coach, and they were playing Toronto, I believe, and Justin Spire, his son, was pitching. And I think it was a tie score. Justin gave up a run in the ninth inning, got the loss, and Chris admitted afterward he was just absolutely torn. I don't know how happy A's brass was with him, but I mean, he admitted having decidedly mixed feelings, almost kind of rooting against the team that employed him, so his son, so they wouldn't succeed at the expense of his own flesh and blood. So you're right. It can be a tough situation. But in this case, I don't, as you said, I don't think Brett's going to be put in any high leverage situations. Bruce is going to let the guys who've handled it all year handle those situations. And so that will avoid potential problems, I think.
Yeah. I think that it's good that they're probably both on the same side. It makes It makes for, let's admit it. We're looking for stuff to write this time of year, so it makes for a great story. Now let's talk a little bit about Jake Peavy, who, that trade, it made a splash, but it wasn't like earth-shattering news when the Giants acquired him. It was kind of moderately shattering news. He has been just awesome in his last four starts combined, just giving up 4 earned runs. Came close to a no-hitter the other day against the Milwaukee Brewers, who are a pretty good team from what they've done over the course of the season. So just want to get your general thoughts on just what a lift he has been and the addition and his experience, in crucial games and in postseasons and just everything. I mean, Jake Peavy is pretty much the exact guy that you'd want on a team at this point.
Totally. That's why they, that is indeed, for those reasons you mentioned, that's why they acquired him. They're going to continue to need him down the stretch, no doubt. Whether he can maintain this kind of effectiveness, I don't know. If he does, wow. They've, that'll make up for the, that will indeed make up for the loss of Matt Cain, which is why they went out and got Jake Peavy in the first place. I could get it, maybe getting ahead of myself to think about what they'll do in this off season with Peavy. I think they'll, at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to re-sign him, because they'll need to replenish that rotation for next year. But, he's a great figure in the clubhouse. Jake is, and on the field and in the dugout, he's, somebody, with his intensity, people rally around that and respond to it. For all those reasons, he's been an excellent acquisition.
Do you feel like things are coming together for the Giants? I mean, when you kind of look ahead, I'm looking, asking you to look into a crystal ball that doesn't exist, but for everything, the ups and downs and everything, it seems like they're in a pretty good place right now.
They are in a pretty good place. Ask me again tomorrow. I mean, it's funny. when we have our weekly chats, you and I, and it seems like one week they're up and the next week they're down, and yesterday they missed, and it was kind of up and down yesterday all in one day. They won the completion of the suspended game. They won the game that was suspended. But then they lost a regularly scheduled game 10-9, and they could have narrowed the deficit separating them from the Dodgers to one game if they had won that, if they had held on to win that game. So they would have had a much better grip on the first wild card spot. if that had happened, if they had won. It wasn't a be-all, and end-all day, but it was the kind of day where, you know, independent race, you like to have things go your way. And so, again, they missed an opportunity, but, you know, playing it, even though the Rockies have the worst record in the National League, this Coors Field here is never an easy place to play. So the Giants will have their hands full the next two nights, and they go to Detroit. You know, that should be an intriguing series, a rematch of the 2012 World Series. And then they get some home games. So, yeah, they need to try and take advantage of every little possibility here.
Yeah, I'm still not used to interleague play in September, but it just seems weird to me that they'd be playing the Tigers in September, but it is what it is. And the Giants do have the best ballpark food in their favor, so, and that's important to some of us. So thank you, Chris Haft, and we'll be chatting with you next week. Thank you.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.